Well, I'm glad that we're here together. It is, again, like I said, a beautiful day out there. We are getting closer to the celebration of Pentecost, which I believe is, and I see as the birthday of the Christian church, right? Now, I've been in birthday celebration mode for the past few weeks. As you know, I spent some time in Florida with my parents celebrating both their birthdays. They both of them turned 80, and the family got together, and we celebrated that together. A cousin of mine was celebrating 2 days ago. My brother, twin brothers, celebrated also in May their birthday, and in a couple of days, I will be celebrating my birthday. So it is a celebrating month for me. But you already know that I don't need much, right, of an excuse to celebrate. So, and you know, especially we Latinos, we don't really mind if it's mine or your birthday. We'll celebrate anyway, all right? And we work at it, right? We work at it. So I'm just joyful, I guess, for all this celebration that is going on. But today, the part that I really want to lift up is that fact that we celebrate the church, right? We celebrate the church. We are here today. And we are here because something has happened in our lives, right? I hope. Something has happened in our life. There is this one person that through the church has come into us and provided himself so that we could have life. And believe me, this church, yes, Mount Air Christian Church, is a testament to that. It's a testament of faith, dedication. It's a testament of witness. And even this facility is a witness, right? Yes. It's a body of believers that worships here, and it has been here for almost 100 years. But a witness to what? To being here for all that time? Yes. But no, because it's not about us, is it? Truly, it is supposed to be a witness to the victory that we enjoy in Jesus Christ, amen. Right? Amen. It is not that we have been here for all this time, but that Christ has been in our midst. That Christ has been leading us all this time. And we benefit from what Jesus has done. And I don't know if there's any other cause of celebration than that. I mean, you know, we should be celebrating. Now, note that there is in this passage, there is a question that opens it up. Right off the bat, right? It says, is it now, Lord? Did you hear that, right? We read it. Is it now, Lord, that you're going to get that thing that we've been looking for? Is it now that you're going to give us this blessing to Israel? Is it now that we're going to have back the power that we lost so long ago? Because that's what you came for, then, isn't it? Isn't it what you came for was to bring back the kingdom of God to Israel, to us? I don't know. Did you hear that? I don't know about you guys, but I was reading this and I was saying, what in the world is happening? What in the world is going through these guys' minds? Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of God, not only came from heaven, he not only spent time teaching them, he not only did all that healing people, touching people, doing all kinds of miracles, but he went to the cross and he died, and not only that, but he came back to life. And here are these guys who have been listening to his teaching, to his words, who have walked with him, and still, something's not clicking. Still, something is quite missing in this picture. Because they immediately go back, okay, Lord, man, maybe the hope that we had before you died is still alive. Maybe these Romans are really going to get it now. You hear that? I mean, it doesn't fail, right? The disciples are still in that hope that something is coming for them. They're still thinking and hoping that they are going to be celebrating what's coming for them. Still seeking their own purposes. They still have their eyes in their own lives. And guess what? We're no different. Hello? Yeah, there was silence there for a second. We're no different. It doesn't matter how long we walk with the Lord, there's something in there that tells us, oh, what's in it for you? What's in it for you? Why are you giving of yourself all this time? Excuse me. All this time. Why are you dedicating yourself all this time? Why are you giving of your goods all this time? Why have you been giving all this time? And what's in it for you? I don't know, maybe it's just me. But it does happen, doesn't it? There's all these questions that creep up in our reality. And Jesus being full of, I think my wife calls this patience. And having such a teaching heart, right? And a giving heart. He goes with the flow of their question and restates again the purpose that he has for them, right? And I just imagine him thinking, no, you dummies. That's not where it's at. That's not what it's all about. This is not about you. This is not about Israel. It is not about that Davidic kingdom that you have read in the books about, because that's in the past. No. This is about the witness that you have today. This is about not only what you have today, but what you're going to have for tomorrow. This is all about what you are called to be doing now. It's about the witness and your role in this witnessing. Now, witnessing, that is a concept that we should really talk about today. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from experience, right? If you're called in a court of law, right, to be a witness, what are you going to be talking about? What you saw, what you know, is what you have experienced. And Jesus tells his disciples of all their ill-conceived focus, and he lets them know that their question is missing the mark, because it's not about them. And it's not for them to know what the Father's full plan is. But what is for them is to be witnesses. To let those who are around them know what they have seen, what they have heard, and what they have experienced. I know that maybe you're thinking, oh, that sounds good. It sounds so good that it's almost convincing. But Jesus, you see, Jesus knew something. Jesus knew that his disciples were ill prepared for the task. Even though he had walked with them and he had taught them, even though they had experienced all these things, miracles, all the work that God had done in their presence, they were still ill prepared for the task. And he knew that there would be a whole lot of their humanity getting in the way of their purpose. You know what I mean by that, right? It's like, oh, I can't be the one. What am I going to do here? I don't know. What am I going to be witness about? I don't know. Well, maybe he cured 10 lepers. Oh, well, maybe I can say that. But how am I going to say that to people who really don't care? You see, I think that that's what's going on in their minds, right? When Jesus lets them know what they have ahead of them, what their purpose is, they're looking at themselves and they say, no, not me, not me. Why me? And what Jesus is working, you know, in his mind and trying to present to them is that what they really need is power. What they really need is something that is supernatural in order to accomplish what God has ahead for them. Now imagine yourselves being in the presence of rabbi, teacher, master, right? And his leaving you, being taken up to the skies. And you're there, and you're thinking, nobody's going to believe this. If I tell someone that Jesus came back to life, that I saw him, and all of a sudden, he was taken up to the skies, they're going to call me nuts. If I share that with someone else, they're going to say, you're crazy. And from now on, I'm going to put my mark on you. I ain't talking to you anymore. You see, they didn't even believe themselves. You remember when the ladies went to the tomb? Right? And it was empty? Right? And they were like speaking with this being. And he says, oh, don't worry. He's alive. And they're like, ah! Right? And they run. Yeah. And they run back. You know what happened, right? They said, hey, we saw the Lord. But he wasn't in there. Yeah, and they're like, no, woman, you're nuts. They didn't believe. So they knew. Even themselves, they didn't believe. So in order for them to take that next step in the journey of faith, there had to be something out of this world to help them explain the out of this worldness of what they had seen and experienced. There had to be something that made them bold in that mission, because it wasn't coming from them. It wasn't. They just simply didn't have it. So Jesus hints at the plan. Wait he says. Wait. You guys wait for the Holy Spirit. Because you're going to need him. You're not only going to enjoy the Holy Spirit, like many folks think that it's all about me and being filled of the Spirit of God so that I have joy in my life and I can overcome all the situations that I experience. No, 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 no. This is about God's mission. And you're going to need it. Thank you, Donna. Is that who is that? Yeah. All right. Because you're going to be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, over in the next neighborhood, and to the ends of the world. Now, what would you have thought if you were in their shoes? What would come to your mind if it was giving this mission to you? What if the Lord goes to the sky and these two men showed up with dark glasses and white suits, you know, a la, you know, Men in Black, you know, remember? You know? But this is the version called Men in White, right? And it says, this Jesus is coming back. This Jesus is coming back the same way that you saw him go into heaven. What would you say?
Say what?
Say, thank you, Mike. That's exactly what I thought. Well, I was hoping to say, oh no, send me, yes, yes. I'm here, Lord. Right? But it most likely would be like that. Say what? Would you take that on? Would you take that on? See, I heard this writer, he was having a chat, an interview on PBS, and his statement was that America is losing it. Right? America is losing it. And by that he meant that America was losing its competitive edge. He said that all the indicators and in the perspective of other countries, and he was speaking specifically about China, said that America has gotten too complacent. Now, complacency is what happens when you feel satisfied without grounds. It's not real, but you feel accomplished. Right? And we know that, you know, there's evidence of this. We say America is number one, but we're number 27 or something in education, right? So there's a mismatch there, right? You know, the writer mentioned that in the 60s, the U.S. had gone to the moon in 7 years. Today, we can have discussions, arguments, and talk about things for 10 years and never have anything done. The things that are supposed to help us in many fields that drive, you know, to drive the economy and affect our economy are not happening. That we do not have that entrepreneurial spirit anymore. Now, he spoke about great technological advances that we have done. You know, we have Netflix nowadays, right? Right? Anybody knows Netflix? Huh? Yeah, you can stream video to your little device wherever you want. But you see, all these technological advances, they're all about our leisure time. We have Uber to take us where we don't want to drive to. It's really nothing that is really getting us anywhere. And believe me, I am a Disciples of Christ minister. All right? I've been ordained in the Disciples of Christ Church. And for those who have lived in the Disciples of Christ Church know very well that when there are two disciples, there's 10 opinions. Right? And we sit and we talk about it. And we will talk about it some more. And we will continue to talk about it and never get anywhere. You see, we are all obsessed with understanding things. I don't know if that is an ill for us Americans. I don't know if that's ill for us human beings. But there's this obsession of knowledge and understanding the circumstances and everything that is going on before we move forward. And I've said to you before that understanding is somewhat overrated. Jesus did not call us to understand. Hello? He did not say, hey, come so that you can understand what I'm doing here. He called us to follow. He called us to go. Hello?
Yeah.
Right? Go and accomplish the task that I have given you. Now, in the year 2000, the president and general minister of the Disciples of Christ, Dick Ham, came up with a great idea. He wrote it in a book. He called the Vision 2020. You know what that was about? Anybody?
Church growth.
Church growth, right? We were going to plant 1,000 churches in 20 years. Guess what? The church has started 1,000 churches in 20 years. Did you know that? Yeah, you would never know. Interesting, huh? You would never know. Because in our minds, everything's going down. I wonder what is going on in us that we don't see it. You see, Christ, Jesus, healed people. The disciples didn't see it. I remember this event about Dick Ham because that really tugged at my heart. And it continues to do so. That's why I mentioned to the leadership of this church, hey, you know what? Maybe this church is called to open 5 more churches. And everybody looked at me and said, like, what? Like Mike said. What? Yeah, imagine that. 5 more churches. It sounds nuts, right? Do you understand it? I don't. But maybe that's what God has called us to do. How are we going to contribute to that? How are we going to participate in what God is doing? By doing. There's no other thing. There's no other way. Just by doing. Being there. And my prayer is that this church is part of what Jesus asks us to be witnesses. To talk to your neighbor. Talk to the one that lives in the other neighborhood. And tell them what God is doing here. And you. Let them know that this is not just about this Jesus that went up to the sky and heaven, but that this is about a Jesus that is alive today and is alive in me.
Amen.
Because you know what? Jesus did something in my life. When I was headed this way, he pulled me out by the hair and said, "Dummy, wake up." You see, whether it is by opening more services, creating more ministries, opening over the churches, I don't know, the sky is the limit. It is not up to me. God is with us. Oh, come on, you missed it. Right? Amen? Do you believe that? All right, I'm going to finish this because, as you know, I have this thing in the past few weeks about songs. They keep coming in my head. I'm sure it's not only me. Right, Scott? I mean, songs have a way of working, into our consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you remember Olivia Newton-John?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay, good. She released a song in 1991 called "Hopelessly Devoted to You." Right? It was a silly love song, like most of the songs in the time. Listen to this. "My head is saying, fool, forget him. My heart is saying, don't let go. Hold on to the end. And that's what I intend to do. I'm hopelessly devoted to you." Talking about a guy. "My head is saying, fool, forget him." I don't know if you hear what I heard. This was going through my mind, and I was like, "Oh, what is going on here? Why in the world am I thinking about this?" I had these flashbacks. Maybe I'm going nuts, right? But then I got it, and when I got it, late last night. Love is not about this, isn't it? It's not about the understanding. It's something about the heart. It's not about the head. There's this battle in us, right? Our logic and our understanding is trying to tell one thing, and then there's this heart that is pumping and saying, "Move, do it." Olivia is expressing that she's hopelessly devoted to this partner of hers. Now, in contrast, the disciples showed something different. They went to Jerusalem, where they, quote unquote, right? I'm quoting now. "Constantly devoted themselves to prayer." They constantly devoted themselves to prayer. Now, prayer, maybe I have the wrong understanding. From what I understand, prayer is not the exercise of hopelessness. It's the exercise of hope. Amen? Prayer is that exercise of hope because we are in contact and communication with the One, the Creator, the Lord, the Father, Jesus Himself, the Spirit of God, which empowers us.
Amen.
Hello? Right? It empowers us to do the things that we couldn't even think of. So, I think that they were hopefully devoted to their master, not hopelessly devoted to a boyfriend. They were hopefully devoted to their master and to their master's project. Jesus, if you have told us that what we are to do is to be your witnesses here in Jerusalem and out there in the world. We better get to pray. We better get to wait for this Holy Spirit power, because I know that we cannot do it on our own. And they went there. And they devoted themselves to prayer. You see, I pray that someone, maybe every one of us, can end up in that place in each one of our journeys as witnesses, where we are hopefully devoted to Him. That we are not putting ourselves in the way, but dedicating ourselves to Him to do His project, not ours, to accomplish His wishes, not ours. And that is going to be uncomfortable. My daughter this morning asked me, "So you're going to be doing three services on Sunday, Dad? If it needs to be, do you think that I can do it? Absolutely not. But if it needs to be, if that's what we are to do to accomplish the mission, then hey." Somewhere, somehow, we'll get the strength to do it. Somewhere, somehow, we're going to get the people to do it. I don't know. As a matter of fact, I don't understand. If you ask me, I've tried for 3 years and I don't get it. So, I've given up in understanding. But if the Lord is calling us to reach this community around us, then we're going to have to do it somehow. If the Lord is calling us to reach your neighbor, then we're going to have to do it somehow. And guess what? He's waiting for you. He's been waiting for me too. Maybe somehow we can get to be hopefully devoted to His mission, and not be so occupied with our Netflix account. Let's pray. Lord, here we are. We're followers. We're disciples. And knowing that we have this battle between the head and the heart, maybe you can awaken us to what really matters. Maybe you can motivate us, just as you motivated us to come here this morning. Maybe you can motivate us to come together and pray. We say these things, you know, even in our worship service, "Thy will be done." Maybe this needs to be our real prayer, not just a phrase that is being uttered as rote. We need you to fill us with that spirit of power that will release us to be your witness. And that's our prayer, Lord. Amen.